Welcome back to our study of Revelation. We're in the third chapter, and we're going to begin our reading again, looking at the letter to Philadelphia in verse 7 of chapter 3. And to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things said he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that which you have, that no man takes your crown. He that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches."
Okay, this particular church is, is doing well, as it appears. There's not an indictment against them. And when we look at that seventh verse, and if you look at Isaiah 22, mm-hmm. 22, we want to read that. But he talks about that he who is true, he who has the key of David. And if you read that in Isaiah.
Isaiah 22:22. "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open."
Now, the word key here, I mean, it can be used obviously naturally, or it can be used spiritually. The key of David, we're talking about the authority, mm-hmm. okay, that David has. God had promised David, when he was king and David wanted to build a temple for God, a house for God, God said, "You can't build my house, I'm going to build your house." And he made David a promise that he would always have a seed, perpetual. Obviously, the seed is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the one who's speaking here is the fulfillment of that promise that God made to David, that Jesus now has the authority. He is the King of all kings. And what he says goes. He opens it, it's open. He closes it, it's closed. And I just wanted to point this out, that this is the promise fulfilled to David through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, with Philadelphia, again, no indictment, but a commendation. God is actually giving them a good commendation when you look at it. Let me get to this study right here. I'm going to turn the wrong page. And so, this, he says to him, "I've set you an open door, no man can shut it." Now, this is interesting. He says you have a little strength. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You kept my word, and you haven't denied my name. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus assures this overseer here at Philadelphia. He says, "I'm going to make those of the assembly of Satan who say they're Jews, but they're not, they'll come and worship before your feet. Then they will know that Jesus loves them." Mm-hmm. He loves him. Okay? They're going to know that I love this church. I love the one that's followed me with their whole heart. It's interesting that Philadelphia means brotherly love. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the ones that are actually walking in the love of God. Now, here's another thing that I see. He talks about those who say they're Jews, those who say they're in covenant, but they're not in covenant. There are many people today who say they're in covenant with God, but they're not in covenant with God. There are many professing Christians, but there's few born-again believers. And I believe this is where he's talking about the wide gate and the narrow gate. The wide gate, wide, broad way, narrow gate, straight gate, narrow way. Okay? Few find it. Because people are enamored with that wide gate. In other words, it's a good moral walk. You understand? You can get things accomplished. And the thing that people don't understand is there is authority in the name of Jesus. And that's why in Matthew 7, he says they've cast out devils and they've done miracles and prophesied in the name. But he says, I never knew you. You were never born again. And so there's people that are professing, well, I'm a Jew, I'm in covenant. He said, but they're not. Where are they? They're actually the synagogue of Satan. You have that in churches all around you today. People are saying, well, I'm a Christian. I've done this. I've done that. But what would Jesus say? And see, here's where he's not looking at works. He's looking at the heart. What is in the heart? When he says, I never knew you. Now, he didn't say, I knew you and you left me. This is not a prodigal son scenario. You understand? He came back. What Jesus is saying, you were never there. I never knew you. And I believe that there are many people in the church today that are professing to be saved that have never been born again by the Spirit of God. Now here's the thing. You're not born by the name. You receive the name. You're immersed into the name of Jesus for remission of sin. But it's the Spirit of God that brings life in a person. It's the Spirit of God that changes the nature of a person. And without the Spirit of God entering into a person, he would say, I never knew you. You're related to Adam. You're not related to me. You're still people of the flesh. You're walking after the flesh. You're carnal people. You're not spiritual people. You follow me? And we've got to get that understanding. And this is where, you know, I think it was just Sunday we were talking about make your call and election sure. You make certain that you're not deceiving your own self with a head knowledge and not a heart revelation. There's a difference between a head salvation, which is pseudo-salvation, and a genuine heart experience to where I absolutely know I am born again. You understand? Not I'm guessing, not I'm hoping, not I'm trying to do my best. I know that I'm born again. You have to get to that point in your life. Then you won't be deceived by all those around you. Well, I'm a Jew, I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that. But does your heart bear witness to their heart? And see, that's the bottom line. And I'm finding that the farther I get along in this, the fewer that I'm finding that my heart bears witness with their heart. I'm not talking about what you're saying. I'm not thinking about what you're doing, but who are you? And this is where we have to get to the point when he says, know those who labor among you. Know them. He didn't say, look at what they're doing. Know them. You can only know them by the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You can't know the things of God except by the Spirit of God. And so does the Spirit of God in me bear witness that that's the Spirit of God that I'm before, or is that the Spirit of the world that's trying to present itself like the Spirit of God? And you have tons of that going on today. And a lot of deceived people, and that concerns me. But the bottom line is truth will prevail and they'll bow to knee. They'll know that God's with us. You understand? They'll know it. But you need to know it right now. And he tells them, he said this, the hour, he says, Jesus declares that he'll keep them from the hour of adversity that will come upon the world. That will come upon the world. You get that? Come upon the world. God's wrath is on the children of disobedience, not the children of obedience. We're children of light. We've been saved from the wrath of God, so we don't have to concern ourselves with the wrath of God. But by the same token, you may be incurring the wrath of the world. If you haven't noticed the persecution, the opposition that the people are getting who are bold for the name of Jesus, there's much opposition coming against that name. You with me? And so he didn't say that he would keep us from the wrath of the world. The church in the book of Acts was born in heavy persecution. But it wasn't God doing it. And this is where we have to make a distinction between tribulation from the world and tribulation that God's bringing on the world. You follow me? And so God is not bringing tribulation on the church. He will bring tribulation on the world. You with me? So keep that distinction in mind. And he says this time of adversity is going to test everybody who dwells on earth. And there's a lot of people, you will see it as we go along here in Revelation, that will be saved during tribulation. Okay? Now, that's about all I'll say about that right now anyway. Jesus said to this overseer, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have. In other words, keep this church in line. You stay doing what you're doing. Stay true to the course. Don't let anyone take your reward away. And I might say that the way that can be done is through deception and getting you to back down from what you believe. It's amazing how many people today are backing down from what you thought they would have been established in a belief. But Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, in the latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They'll believe a lie. They'll actually bring judgment on themselves by believing deception. And so the Spirit is saying here, don't you let anyone take your crown. You stay true to the course. You started believing in Jesus Christ. Don't you move from that. Don't you mix Jesus' redemption with anything else. You understand? Stay true to the faith. And then Jesus gave this promise to Philadelphia. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now that interests me because when I think of construction and a pillar is something that is supports. It's supporting this mm-hmm. thing. I'll make you a support. In other words, you'll be strong in this. Well, God's looking for people right now who's strong in Him, strong in His kingdom. Now, the temple of God is a spiritual temple. So we're talking about a strong spiritually. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Something to think about. And then he goes on to say, and you won't have to go anymore out. In other words, you'll stay here. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And of course, that's New Jerusalem. And so that will be on the temple. Where was the temple in the Old Testament? Solomon's temple was in Jerusalem, wasn't it? God's temple is in Jerusalem, but not Solomon's temple. This is the new Jerusalem that comes down from God out of heaven. And so all these things are spiritual, and people are trying to view it naturally. If it's coming down from God out of heaven, it's not natural. Is it? No. We will not be natural. We're spirit. God is spirit. We're spirit. We're like Him. So spiritual people live in a spiritual place. You follow me? Okay. And so we'll have that name of New Jerusalem on us. He says it comes down from God out of heaven. And he said, I'll write on him my new name. What's his new name? I don't know. He didn't tell me. Some things are secrets, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on to say, those who have ears to hear, you listen to what the Spirit's saying to the church. And to me, what I'm gleaning out of these things, I hear the commendation that he gives to the churches. And so that says this is what we should be doing. But then I hear the indictment brought against the church, this is what I should not be doing. I should not be participating in these things. And if I'll do what I should do and abstain from what I shouldn't do, then I'm guaranteed of reward. But we're not doing it for reward. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do and because we love God. You do what you do because you love God. God's the one that thinks about the reward. We shouldn't be thinking in that line. Because then you're trying to earn something by doing something. You follow me? Okay.
Okay.
We're not going to have time to get into the layout soon.
Time.
Okay.
Oh, no.
We're going to have to stop there because we have a test that some will be taking here. Okay. I strongly encourage you to read this. Just keep reading it. Read it in different translations, whatever, okay? But read the Bible. Don't go get a book on Revelation. For goodness sake, do not go read somebody's book on Revelation. Read the book. Read the Bible. And just go to God. Plead ignorance. That's all right to go to God and say, like Agar, I'm the most stupid of all men. And if you don't show me, then I'll never know it. I have said that to God more than one time. If you don't show me, I will never know this because I do not have the ability to understand it. And so you go to God, Lord, there's so many schools of thought out here. I want to know truth. The Holy Spirit inspired this to be written. I need the Holy Spirit to reveal what He inspired to where I can apply what I need to apply in this life. Now, I've learned this, that God's not going to tell me everything about everything. It's none of my business. Just like He told Daniel, you write it down. I'm not going to reveal it to you. In essence, it's not for you to know. There's secret things that belong to God. But thank God He reveals things to us and our children. Now, it's up to us to dig this out. You know, wisdom is like a deep well in the heart of a man. A man of understanding draws it out. You do that through reading and through meditation. You study, you ponder on the things, and you listen to the Spirit of God, and then go with what God gives you. Amen? Nobody knows all this about Revelation. The man that tells you he's an authority on it has already revealed that he's not. Because if he was authority on it, he'd let you know. Oh, only you know, Lord. So we'll teach you what we learned. And the things that we don't know, we're not going to try to baffle you with bull, okay? All right. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Those guys that aren't taking the test, you have a great week. And the ones that are taking the test, you have a great evening here as you take the test.